This is the Draft Prospect Review Podcast from Patriots.com.
We're the 29th pick. The New England Patriots like...
Now here to preview the prospect are the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Wednesday afternoon at Gillette Stadium, and that can mean one thing and one thing only. Another Draft Prospect Review here inside the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios at Gillette Stadium. Andy Hart and Paul Perillo, we're going to talk about the most prestigious position of them all, Andy, the offensive line.
So prestigious, you rarely watch the tape.
That is true. That is true. I will say this. Normally, I snicker and scoff when we bring up the offensive line and all those things that go with it. But this particular year, Andy Hart, very good chance that the number one overall pick could be an offensive lineman. A lot of people have Luke Jokel at the top of a lot of draft boards. And
that's no Jokel.
He is not the only one very highly thought of. The tackle group is considered a pretty strong one. There are several prospects at the top. In addition to Texas A&M's Jokel, you have Eric Fisher from Central Michigan, Lane Johnson from Oklahoma, DJ Fluker from Alabama. All these guys are possibilities in the first round. There are plenty of versatile guards and centers, the interior linemen as well. Andy, where do you think the Patriots will fall on the offensive line spectrum? Do you think that they are in line for any of these? We should point out that the entire offensive line is intact with the re-signing of Sebastian Vollmer. Where do you think the Patriots will go?
I think they would look to the inside if they were to draft an offensive lineman. Now, as things sort of unfold, and we should mention, I guess, draft pick related, Emmanuel Sanders, Patriots signed to an offer sheet today. They could, if they sign him, if the Steelers don't match, would lose their third round pick. You'd be down to four picks, a one, a two, and two sevens. I would say that makes it even less likely they would tap into offensive line. It might just go the undrafted market as they've done over the years. Because let's be honest, not only do they return the starting offensive line, but, you know, Marcus Cannon, it's kind of pooper, get off the pot time to find a place for him.
Yep.
What is he? Is he a backup inside guy, a backup outside guy? They signed Will Svitek. Is he your swing tackle? So if things unfold sort of based on resumes, there's not a lot of jobs to be won or had, and that's why I would look to the inside, maybe a versatile backup inside guy, or a guy, frankly, who could win the job, because I know Dan Conley is making starter quote-unquote money. Ryan Wendell certainly is not, and just because he played more snaps than anyone last year, I wouldn't say, oh, you know, we're set at center for the next, you know, X number of years. It's not like we drafted a Pouncey or we have, you know, somebody that's just all of a sudden, you know, your center of the future. So I would say inside, and the early guy I look to, for a lot of reasons, is Barrett Jones, the kid out of Alabama. And I've talked about this on PFW Progress. He was an All-American tackle. Then they moved him to center. He's an All-American center. I think he may have won the Remington Award, the best center in the country. Just that versatility that we know they would love, especially if you're looking for, at least initially, a backup guy or a guy that can move around a little bit in there. Obviously, you hope that Mankins is healthy next year and you don't need to sort of move bodies around. But Barrett Jones, just an intriguing guy, probably not the greatest athlete in the world, although I poo-poo that a little bit because, you know, if you're a two-time All-American at two different positions in the SEC, you're pretty good.
Yeah.
Don't tell me you
whether
can't
you're overly
hold your
athletic
own.
Or not, you're a good football player.
Now, if he were a two-time center, okay, I could buy. He's got guards next to him. He's got Chance Warmack helping him out, but he played tackle and center and was an All-American. So you're decent enough athletically. So I think a guy like that, you know, I know Justin Pugh is an interior potential guy that, you know, some people even in the first round have mocked to the Patriots. I just find that so distasteful, you know, to think that they would draft an interior offensive lineman late in the first round with sort of other issues on this team in terms of pass rush and secondary, wide receiver, all those areas.
Yeah, and I mentioned the versatility, and I should point out that Pugh is a guy at Syracuse that did play tackle,
right?
But some people, you know, look at him in the as an interior guy. You know, we'll get right to it right off the bat here with Fred Kirsch's guy. You know, Travis Frederick is you know, the center that Fred right. is just in love with, and it just makes me laugh that the positions, you know, people look around and they say, you know, well, they need a pass rusher or they need a cornerback, or, you know, maybe some people look at wide receiver, although as you pointed out, Andy, Emmanuel Sanders, if he ends up coming, maybe that lessens the need for a wide receiver a little bit.
Julian Edelman re-signing.
Yeah, we should add that as well. Fred focuses on center as this big area of need.
Fred likes Frederick.
Yeah, you know. So he's the highest rated. NFL Draft Scout has as many as six or seven potential first-round picks among offensive linemen.
Yeah, can, like, I get into some of those?
It's
can
like
I rip
four,
them on
four
the...
tackles, a couple of guards. There's one tackle, Andy, that I want you to talk. One offensive lineman, let me put it that way, that I want you to get to, and that's Kyle Long, because I know that's
he started four games at guard at Oregon, and now is projected as a tackle in the NFL, and he played some tackle at Oregon, just didn't start. He's had a long winding road to the NFL, was a baseball player. You know, some Chris Long says he's the most athletic member of the Long family. Obviously, he's Chris Long's brother, Howie Long's son. Was a very good baseball player, threw hard, went to FSU, had some substance abuse issues with alcohol and sort of screwed himself up there, went the JUCO route, and then ended up at Oregon. And, you know, I'm sure he's a great athlete. But there are a lot of great athletes who aren't worthy of, you know, people are now saying a potential late first-round pick for him, early second, as a tackle. Wait a minute. He didn't play tackle at Oregon. He wasn't good enough to start at tackle for whatever reason. And I find it hard to believe. I know there's a lot of stories of projections and guys that peak at the NFL level. I'm sorry. I think something has to do with the fact that he's Chris Long's brother and Howie Long's son. I think people are falling in love with the Long name and that family and the history that they've been successful NFL players and the work ethic and all that. And that's great. I just don't think if his name was anything else, he'd be drafted in the first round, even with his athleticism and potential.
I can't argue with you on that. And I would also agree with you, your overall assessment of the Patriots situation. I think if you're looking offensive line, especially if you've now lost that third round pick, I think you're almost looking to the seventh round,
right,
if you're gonna draft an offensive lineman. Now, there's always the chance, and probably a strong chance, that you're gonna end up trading down and acquiring a couple of mid round picks. And if you do, that throws some guys back into the equation. But I think that you're looking at some developmental guys, some potential versatile interior guys to back up. You've lost one of those guys in Donald Thomas as a free agent, and I know you don't necessarily look to the draft to replace a backup lineman, but something the Patriots have done very well over the years is develop young offensive linemen. My guess is they'll probably sign a handful of undrafted guys, and the best of that bunch will end up working with Dante Scarnecchia, and maybe one of them or two of them ends up on the practice squad. They've had a couple, like Matt Copa and Kyle Hicks has been a guy that's on IR. They've had a couple of those guys in the last couple of years that showed promise but never really were able to make it all the way. Maybe they look in that direction again, but it is an interesting crop of those interior guys because of what you said, Andy. So many of them play tackle. They're going to move inside and play guard. They have the ability to play different spots, and in Barrett Jones' case, excel at different spots. One guy that I want to throw out at you, and I know that you watched the tape, Colorado's David Bakhtiari. He's a tackle. He was maybe a mid-round pick, second, third-round guy. Do you remember watching him at all? I remember talking
to him.
Yeah,
I don't like him.
You didn't like him, okay? Because no. I didn't get to watch his tape. I haven't watched the offensive lineman, as you pointed out, but I did get to talk to him at the combine. He talked a lot about working with Nate Solder, and that's the reason why I was.
And he's similar, kind of a weak looking, you know, not a great punch. You see some of these guys that just stunt the pass rusher with a punch. He's not that kind of a guy. He was kind of an eh.
Okay.
You know, footwear. I think he's.
Yeah, he's not considered like a top five tackle
a second or a third round, but, you know, I'm all over the board. You know, I generally like a couple. You know, it seems like there's always three to four tackles that are first round prospects. And in my opinion, there's generally a huge difference the way I see those guys. For example, this year, Luke Jokel, I think, is good. Borderline very good. He's not a franchise tackle. I'm pretty sure he's not worthy of the number one overall pick, and he's not as dominant as some of the guys we've seen come through. I think he's a little weak. You see some times where he's a great athlete, and he's so consistent in his technique that he doesn't get frazzled. You know, even if a guy seems to get the edge on him, he just sticks with his technique. You see other guys, you know, I always joke to you and call you a step side, oh crap, he got by me, and you lose he doesn't lose his technique.
It's the Mike Tyson thing. Everybody has a plan.
He doesn't get, when he's punched in the mouth, he just says, well, I was ready for this. That's what I expected. So I think he's a very good, solid, you know, I know you don't like this term, but safe pick.
Yeah, no, I think he's going to be a good, draft solid like this, tackle. That probably makes
Eric
sense.
Eric Fisher, I don't like. I don't think he's anywhere near as good as Luke Jokel, and there are a lot of people that think he's going to be a top five type pick. Lane Johnson, I think, is a phenomenally talented athlete who could be the best of the bunch. To me, he reminds me a little bit of the kid out of USC that went to Dallas a couple years ago who played right tackle.
Tyron Smith.
A phenomenal athlete.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, he's a converted quarterback/tight end/defensive end. He's now a tackle. Great size, 6'6", great athleticism. But, you know, I think he's a little raw. I think he's going to take a little while to get there, but I think his potential is to be a Hall of Fame type tackle. I think he has that kind of athletic ability where I don't think maybe Jokel does. I think he's just a good solid. You know, Jokel could be a rich man's Matt Light, I'll say. You know, you plug him in somewhere for 10 years, he probably will go to a couple Pro Bowls, but you're not going to be saying he's Jonathan Ogden or he's, you know, this greatest Hall of Fame tackle. Fluker, another guy I didn't love. I think he's a right tackle. He just didn't stand out to me. Has good power. Can be beaten on the edge a little bit. I just don't see him as an elite athlete. So I think he's probably a right tackle type. And I'm sorry, I don't take right tackles early in the first round.
You don't have to apologize to me, Andy.
But Kyle Long, as we mentioned, I did want to talk about a couple guys. Chris Faulk, a guy from LSU who was thought of as like a first-round tackle, tore his ACL, missed the year. To me, that screams potential Patriot. Even if we don't think they're going to take one, if they think they can get a guy who's a first-round talent, you know, maybe they trade down and they end up with a fifth-round pick, fourth-round pick. Now, I think he's starting to go a little higher. He's starting to trend towards a third-round pick. But I think talent-wise, Chris Faulk might be a guy coming in off injury they would see as a value. I also another guy is Garrett Gilkey, the kid out of Chadron State, late-round guy.
I don't know if you happen to see, but ESPN.com wrote your story.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Kicked arse at Chadron State. Absolutely dominated people. Threw people to the ground, even was so kind as to pick them up at times, like ragdolled people, basically.
Tell the story,
technique
though, about what he.
Well, he's a guy that, as a freshman in high school, was bullied. Said there were times where even the whole school was laughing at him, making fun of him, and now obviously isn't bullied. He's, you know, 6'5", 300+ pounds, kind of has the ponytail and the big badass offensive lineman look to him, and wants to do a lot of anti-bullying stuff. He's from Illinois. Actually ended up at Chadron State through Don Beebe, who I think was his high school coach. Obviously the former Bills receiver, had a connection there. You know, so he's got a very interesting story, and I think he'd be an interesting developmental offensive line prospect. And, you know, I've talked about this in the past. If you're going to play a lower level,
dominate.
You got to dominate. I don't know whether you'll be able to make the transition, but at least dominate there, and that gives you a chance to make the transition. We've seen other guys who didn't do that. I always like to throw out, what's his name, from UMass, who ended up with the Jets.
Vladimir Dukas.
Yeah. I didn't think he dominated at UMass. How do I expect him to dominate in the NFL if he can't dominate at UMass?
And there are a couple of local guys this year as well, a couple of Boston College offensive linemen. You always keep an eye on them because that's one area that BC does very well
in. BC, Wisconsin, and that's why Fred's all over.
Emmett Cleary is one of them. There was another one from BC whose name, John Wetzel. And I believe John Wetzel, it was either Cleary or Wetzel. I think it was Wetzel who actually interned at 98.5 The Sports Hub during the summer, which I thought was kind of neat.
In terms of the guards, Chance Warmack for a while there was some buzz. He could be a number one overall pick. I certainly don't think he's worthy of that. You know, the whole Bill Belichick, you can always get a guard. Well, maybe that's changing. Maybe they are more valuable. Maybe they, you know, we're paying $50 million here for a guard in Logan Mankins, who they drafted, by the way, in the first round. But Chance Warmack dominated, obviously, at Alabama. And I look at him and I say, yeah, he's good, but he's a guard. He's good. He's a killer guard. But, you know, and maybe I'm swayed by here how we've seen Joe Andruzzi be good enough to play guard. Dan Conley, good. You know, Stephen Neal, a wrestler, be good enough to be a very good guard, you know, a starting caliber, Pro Bowl caliber guard.
Dan Conley.
Yeah.
Your current starter.
So I think I'm swayed, and if I'm going to take a chance, I just feel like that's not valuable.
Dan Conley, Southwest Missouri State, you know, kind of off the scrap heap. I think
and
that's
Womack's
you,
better. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying.
Oh, no. I mean, like Steve Hutchinson
better.
Was, a franchise guard, if there is such a thing. There are exceptions, and when those talents come along, they make a difference. Before we wrap this one up, though, Andy, do you have a name or two, just late round, you know, the Gary Gilkey type guy that might be a candidate in the seventh round. You threw a lot of names out there, and I don't know if there's one in particular.
Gilkey would be one, because some people think he's a guard in the NFL, or probably will be a guard in the NFL, but I just think he's an intriguing developmental guy. Kid out of North Carolina, Brennan Williams, I thought looked decent. Good size, 6'6", 318. Actually wants to play in New England. Voice, you know, for some reason he's got this weird thing. He wants to play for the Patriots because he's
who doesn't.
Well, he's what's his name's son too.
What's the last name?
Brent Williams.
Oh, okay.
That would certainly make a little more sense. Who cares?
I mean, you wouldn't want to play in the team that your dad played for?
I guess, but I'd want to play where I was going to play and have a good career. Oh, great. I went to where my dad played, and I sucked. I didn't get to play.
I'm sure that his favorite team was always the Patriots because his dad played
for them. All right. Well, you know what? He wants to be here. You know, there's other guys that I think are good. Xavier Nixon out of Florida, solid. I think the tackle class is better than the guard class, even though there's some high-end guards, Chance Warmack, Jonathan, the kid out of North Carolina. Why am I drawing a blank on his name? Cooper. There's a couple, but most of the guards I found very,
They're guards.
Yeah. And maybe that's part of it. I look at them a little differently. But I actually think for the Patriots, the two most intriguing prospects, dream world, Lane Johnson might slide and you get an elite athlete, although you're sort of set at tackle. I think that Barrett Jones, a likely candidate just because of the versatility, the save and all that. Gilkey, a nice developmental guy. I just really don't think they're going to draft an offensive lineman.
Yeah,
so I wouldn't think too hard about it.
I would agree. Unless you add a multiple picks, I would probably agree with you. I think that does it for offense, though, right?
We're done.
We've done the receivers, we've done the backs, done the quarterbacks. Now the offensive line is taken care of. Next week on Monday, we're
going
to take a look at defense, and I think we'll have more positions to talk about potential Patriots on that side of the ball. Until then, Andy and Paul, we'll be back with another draft prospect review next Monday. See ya.
Peace out.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.